Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 4. The Reverend Peter Lang is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text from 1 Peter teaches us about the end times, what we Christians can expect even today, and what our hope is in the face of that. Following Peter's well-known passage on Christian suffering that comes just before this text, this continuation of that theme is bracketed by the word judgment at its opening and the phrase when the chief shepherd appears at its end. Both are references to the end times. This text teaches us about the end times. Yet the first three verses of today's reading are quite different from the four that follow. The first three speak about us, the house of God, Christians, the spiritual house that Peter talks about in chapter 2, while the four verses that follow speak to the elders, the spiritual leaders of the church, and how they are to exercise the ministry entrusted to them until the chief shepherd appears at the end of the end times. This is a text about the end times. And it follows and builds on Peter's teaching about suffering. Today we'll focus our attention on those first three verses of the text, those words spoken to us, the house of God. At the beginning of this text, Peter picks up mid-paragraph, right after saying, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. And then he continues, for it is time for the judgment to begin at the household of God. The judgment that Peter is talking about includes the suffering of Christians that he's just been speaking about. Did you ever realize that, according to Scripture, suffering as part of God's end-time judgment begins with or from the household of God? This is actually a theme that we see elsewhere in Scripture, in places like Isaiah chapter 10. Shall I not do to Jerusalem and her idols as I have done to Samaria and her images? When the Lord has finished all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will punish the speech of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the boastful look in his eyes. Malachi chapter 3 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 are additional places where we see this. And so what fiery trials have come upon you to test you? How do you share in Christ's sufferings? How are you insulted for the name of Christ? I used to think that a person had to look to communist China or North Korea or Stalinist Russia or someplace far away to find plentiful examples of Christian suffering. Remember those orange-clad Christian hostages on the beaches of Libya who were beheaded in 2015. But it seems pretty clear that even we who live in this country no longer need to look to the voice of the martyrs to find examples of suffering for the sake of Christ's name. Do you know anyone whose career has suffered for their response to DEI training? Have you ever refrained from making the good confession about chastity or two divinely ordained sexes versus endless self-identified genders for fear of the reprisals that might come? What about the encroaching threats of civil punishment for hate speech, simply for saying what God's word says? Each of us has a story of suffering for the name of Christ, if only we reflect on it. It's part and parcel of being a Christian in this world. And such suffering is the beginning of the judgment. Such things are indicators that we are in the end times. Yet while Christians are experiencing the beginning of the judgment in their suffering, this text and its citation of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 31 make clear that such suffering is nothing compared to what's coming for the unbelievers. If judgment begins with us, Peter asks, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? In the midst of such suffering, while patiently enduring the beginning of the end time judgment, we cry out with King David in the words of today's Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. And such calling upon you is exactly what the Lord, through Peter, invites and commands us to do in the face of end-time suffering that may even tempt us to offer the proverbial pinch of incense to avoid it. Therefore, Peter says, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. He who created you is all-powerful and numbers even the hairs of your head. He knows your suffering, and he will see you through it to the appearing of the chief shepherd. Entrust your soul to a faithful Creator. This is what the chief shepherd himself did when suffering on the cross to absorb in his body the judgment that is rightly yours and mine for our avoidance of Christian suffering and for all our sin. There on the cross, Jesus took this same word on his lips and, quoting today's psalm, cried out, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." In perfect trust, he did in our place what we are unable to do. And then he breathed his last to pay the full price of our sin. Because of Jesus, you need not fear the judgment of God or Christian suffering, which is its beginning. You are the household of God, children of a faithful Creator, both in your conception and in your rebirth in holy baptism. You have come to Jesus, who was rejected by men for your sake, but who entrusted his spirit to the Father until his redeeming work was finished. As members of his spiritual house, you see the judgment beginning, but you have no need to fear. For your faithful Savior has passed through suffering and the judgment of God to resurrection and life everlasting. In his precious name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.